how did this start? How did this become a thing? Because when I think of opera, I think of really cool, like, Italian people standing on a stage and singing in a language that I don't understand, and singing about things that I don't understand. And you're singing about things like rescue dogs and memes and selfies, which makes me happy in all sorts of ways. So tell me, how did you come up with this?
Sure. So my partner's an opera singer, and Holly is an opera aficionado. She actually has a PhD in opera. So when I needed a director,
cool.
I was like, Holly, you have a PhD in this. You should direct it. And we were actually at a production that Rockdale Opera did. And Rockdale's a pretty small company, so they don't have the setup to do the subtitles above the stage.
Mm-hmm.
So they typically translate into English, which can be good, can be bad. I'm not commenting one way or the other, but Holly...
Because you still can't understand what they're singing.
Yeah, and so Holly actually gave me a ride home, and I was saying, you know, if they can just write lyrics to this, why can't I? And just completely change the meaning, because I love the music. It's absolutely beautiful. But as a theater person, the plots and the characters tend to really frustrate me from a story standpoint. And also, you know, misogyny and racism and all the stuff you get when your whole genre is basically a bunch of dead white guys from centuries ago.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah.
That happens.
I feel you there. Like, no. Yeah. So you've taken this whole genre and you've kind of flipped it on its head a little bit and modernized it. You've brought it into the 21st century. What was the biggest challenge, and what's the biggest challenge working on a project like this?
Finding a tenor.
Okay.
She's actually not joking. I'm laughing to keep from crying. Holly's also the dramaturge, because I can't even read music.
Oh, okay.
So as we
but
were
you
writing
decided
it,
to embark on this project.
Allison is nothing if not brave.
Yes.
Takes the bull by the horns.
Yes. Okay. All right. So we've had troubles finding a tenor.
Yeah. And then we lost our baritone, Tristan Entwistle, because he is absolutely wonderful. And he made it to the finals of a big competition.
Okay.
So he suddenly is like, oh no, it competes with these dates. And obviously, you know, that was a much bigger opportunity for him.
We're hoping that he wins, because he'll get an oil painting done of himself.
Now,
which
you did mention this before, and that makes me just so in love with the world of opera. That is the prize that people are getting for this competition. Like, yes, paint me in oil and hang it in a big gold frame on my wall. Like, that's amazing. And if he wins and doesn't drape himself in fur and jewels when having the oil painting done, we should all be very disappointed in him.
Oh, he knows.
He'll be the type to do that.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Excellent. Wonderful. So when you're coming up with these topics, and when you're coming up with these kind of aspects of life today that you want to hit on and that you want to comment on, because you're making like quite firm statements on a lot of these things from what you've been telling me. How do you choose what aspects to explore? And then as a director and as someone in the play, how do you go about exploring them? Like, it seems like a huge task.
Well, we wanted to go for the stereotypes about millennials, really, because we're both millennials ourselves. And for anyone who's wondering, that's people born between early 1980s and about 1995.
Mm. So they're in their 30s now. Stop calling us young upstarts.
Some of us are in our 30s.
I was born in 95, so it depends on whether or not millennials are being spoken of politely as to whether or not I am one.
No, you're a baby millennial.
No, I had a friend complaining about how her teenage daughter was, you know, oh, she's such a millennial and such annoying millennial. And I had to explain to her, your daughter is not a millennial. You are.
Yeah.
Because we're so used to complaining about the generation as a whole that it's just become the default.
Yeah.
And so everything in here is things that either annoy me or that are just so prevalent in our culture at this point that I felt like it was worth commenting on. So, for example, there's Non So Pucosa, which is a young boy sung by a woman complaining about how horny he is, essentially, and how he can't get any action.
Oh, and so this isn't the original?
That's the original. Oh. I don't care about young boys who can't get laid. I'm sorry.
This is from the Mozart's Marriage of Figaro originally.
Okay.
It's sung by a mezzo in a pants role.
Okay.
So this is a thing specific to opera. Mezzo sopranos in particular often have to get their breeches on and play horny young men.
Right.
Yeah, or old women or the bitchy characters. But in any event, I was like, okay, so I'm going to take that and make it about all of the effort women have to put into making themselves attractive to people like that character.
Yes.
And all of the time and money and energy we invest in makeup, hair, clothes.
Shaving, waxing.
We were actually just talking. Yes. I shaved my legs for the first time in months this morning, and I just gave up around the knee because I was just over it.
And I did the exact same thing yesterday because we both knew our skirts wouldn't go any further.
Yeah, it's like, so it's fine. Yeah. That's all we need to
it's
do.
It's all an illusion, and we're doing it for other people. We're not necessarily doing it for ourselves. So
you said you were going out with your partner and you wanted to look nice because it was your anniversary, but your partner knows about your hairy legs.
Oh my God.
He knows
I've got like a massive tarantula situation going on my legs these days, and he knows this, so I don't know why I bothered. And it was freezing yesterday too. I could have done with the extra warmth. What was the most fun aspect of the show to work on?
Well, so far I think the recording sessions were great because we did record all 11 songs.
Wow.
And so, yeah, we were able to get Tristan for the...
Lago Alfactotum.
Oh, it's so hard. Our bass is not looking forward to it.
No.
Because it's not currently in his rep. But so that's the one that goes, la 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 la. And our version now is, me, 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 me. See, I can't even do it. But I'm not a singer.
It's really, really challenging. It's considered one of the, if not the most difficult baritone aria. And we've just made it that much harder by making all the lyrics about memes.
Oh, no. You sadist.
Well, the original song, so like I said, all of these, well, not all of them, but most of these tie back to the original in some way. So originally, Largo Alfactotum is talking about how busy this guy is and how he has so much to do. And so it's like, okay, what is the biggest time waster that we currently have? Yes, it's Facebook, but Facebook is the delivery method for the memes.
Yeah, memes. So. They're just it. That's completely it. I spend my whole life. And then every time I'm trying to reply to like a funny message, I just like meme version of word I'm trying to say.
It's, or like GIF.
Yeah, yes. Of just like something that I'm trying. Show me a cat saying this word and I will like send that instead of actually sending the word.
I was looking for long suffering this morning. I got a lot of interesting results.
I'm just going to like leave that one right there where it is.
Something for you to do later.
Yeah. So I think that by opening this genre up, because when you think of opera, I think a lot of people think like quite highbrow and quite fancy. Like if I were going to the opera.
Expensive
and fancy. And I would put my pearls on and my nicest dress and that's how I'd go to the opera. But do you think by opening it up, you will be opening the genre up by talking about something that people can relate to a little bit more? Do you think that this is going to make it a lot more accessible? Maybe this is like the gateway drug to opera?
We're hoping to be a gateway drug. So
what's my life goal?
What we've done is we've set this in a cabaret kind of setting.
Very fringe. I love it.
Yeah, very fringe. It's on the 1 hour show, so it's not too taxing for the audience. And so they're going to be sitting in the news agency in Merrickville.
Amazing
which
venue.
Is a lovely little intimate venue.
Yeah.
Having a couple of glasses of whatever takes their fancy and listening to some pretty sassy, pretty sarcastic, pretty hopefully funny versions of opera arias that they've probably heard on the radio, probably heard on various pizza ads.
Yes.
So it's songs that you'll recognize even if you don't know when I say the title.
I went through and I Googled a lot of the titles that you sent through to me that are going to be in the show. I'm like, oh, I know this one. This is that one that was on that thing, or this is that one that was turned into a beer ad, or like this is from that opera. And I know those little bits and pieces. So I think it will like trigger a lot of people to be like, I do know a bit about opera. Look at me go. This is fun, which is a very millennial thing to do, to just take that knowledge and own it and be like, yes, I am the smartest person in the room.
How to feel cultural with the minimum of effort.
Yeah. Oh my God. That should be your tagline. Feeling cultural, minimum effort required. So the show, it's playing on Sunday, September 9th, Thursday, September 6th, and Saturday, September 8th. That's like a weird order that I said that, but it's okay. We'll pop some links on the podcast as to how you can get tickets. It's playing at the news agency. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Now, before we go and let these lovely ladies go, we've got a track from the show to play. Do you guys want to intro this? It's called Woke, which is making me all kinds of happy.
So Holly, as I mentioned, is also our MC. And we wanted to take Nessun Dorma, which is a very arrogant song. And like, okay, what what does that make us think of today? And so we're going to have a white guy interrupting our female MC to brag about how woke he is.
It's mansplaining. I love it.
A whole song full of mansplaining.
It is so mansplaining.
Oh my God. See, this is, it's just like the political commentary in this is just going to be right up my alley.
Oh, and I just want to mention, the tenor that you're about to hear is named Brad Cooper. He won't be in the show, but he's absolutely wonderful.
We love Brad. We are going to love this song. Take a listen, guys. See, this is the joy of computers at 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to go again. Here we go.
Let me tell you how woke I am. I respect everyone, all genders and religions, ethnicity, sexualities. I don't interrupt or mansplain, and I'm so humble about it.